listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Raymond Snyder, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. And today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott. Let's begin with a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Today we're going to talk about signs of hope that we see among young people, especially in university settings. This is branching out a little bit for Father Stephen and I, who are engaged in parish ministry at St. Patrick, but something we've both had some experience with, doing ministry with college students. And frankly, sometimes in the places you would think are the most secular or hostile to the faith, meeting young people who are tremendously empowered and full of faith, tremendously fervent in their practice of the faith and convicted in their desire to bring it to their peers. So, Father Stephen, you were the chaplain for University of Virginia for a while, which is, of course, a secular school. How did you find the Catholic students there? What do you think the particular challenges were for them?
One of the big challenges for them is that they were uprooted from everything that they know, from their homes, from their families, from the vast majority of their friends, unless they have a few friends that went to UVA with them. They're also facing a much heavier course load. They like to say there that 90% of the students coming in are in the top 10% of their high school graduating class, which means that most of them are not used to being anywhere below the top 10, and now they might be in the bottom 50. Very easily, you know, so facing the greater challenges of the academics and just looking to being uprooted from all of that and then looking to kind of fill in the sudden gaps, you know, to find friends, you know, when they feel lonely, to find community when they've been kind of uprooted from their families and their network of friends in high school, to find ways to cope with the great challenges and stresses of the new academic program. And if they're Catholic, it's a challenge in a sense because you don't expect to find much support for your Catholic faith in a state school. But that can have a silver lining because they realize very quickly that because they can't expect that from their school or from necessarily from their classrooms, they have to swim. They can't just float. They have to swim and find it. And that tends to move them towards the campus chapel or the campus ministry or other Catholic students that they might see at Mass.
I think so much in our practice of the Christian life and our spiritual lives begins with recognizing our needs, coming before God and recognizing our needs. And in fact, it's a huge breakthrough for people many times when they have just that, when they recognize they can't do it all on their own, or there are many forces around them that are against their, you know, practice of the faith, and so all the more reason to cling to the resources, to surround themselves with the people who are journeying towards the Lord also, and to surround themselves with healthy friends who are going to challenge them in good ways. My own experience is more indirect, not so much with one particular campus, but with the Thomistic Institute, which I worked for last year, helping different student groups, Thomistic Institute chapters on secular campuses specifically. The Thomistic Institute is primarily devoted towards fostering the Catholic intellectual tradition at non-Catholic universities and colleges. And I was just always impressed that it was a great job because great ministry, because I was able to be in touch with so many young people who were just that, who are in a secular environment, but very committed in their own faith and in their desire to bring the truth to their peers, bring the truth to their friends. And so, you know, we tend, especially seeing, you know, the bad news that the news is full of, and hearing plenty of bad news about our friends and family, or, you know, maybe parents who are very heart-wrenchingly watching their children slowly or maybe quickly fall away from the faith. We're used to hearing bad news about things at colleges, but there are these tremendous signs of hope that even when you go to a place which, yes, let's say is predominantly secular, predominantly full of values contrary to the faith, when people are even being indoctrinated, you might say, with falsehood, even in these contexts, and sometimes in those very contexts, the faith is held vibrantly by individuals because, again, they recognize their need. They're able to see precisely how much they need the Lord to keep them strong. Or maybe they've, you know, had some conversion experience provoked or prompted by something that very environment started. What do you think would be good advice to give to young people? Let's say, let's imagine some high school juniors or seniors maybe who are still trying to select what college they'll go to, still applying to different places. What do you think would be good advice for someone at the beginning about how to keep their faith strong in their college years?
I think first of all, if you're looking at a college, to look to find out what is the Catholic campus ministry there? What are the other Catholic students, and even make a connection before you start school. Many campus ministries, ours did at University of Virginia, we would try to write letters. We would have actually our students write letters to incoming Catholic students that we knew about. You know, students that had come to the Catholic table at their orientation fair for the university when they're enrolling in classes, and had mentioned they were Catholic and were willing to write down their contact information. We would have our students contact them even before school started to let them know, hey, come to our opening of the year barbecue, you know, where you can meet lots of other Catholic students. So just connecting with people, that's so important. Even just finding out where Mass is, looking for those other students that will help you. Because again, it's being uprooted from so many people you know, unless you're going to a community college, that's less so. But for people going to a residential university or college, you need people that will help and support you. And statistics show that the relationships that first year or freshman students develop in the first several weeks of their university, many of those persist through all of their time there. So, and a lot of other organizations know that. There's a tremendous press by all kinds of campus organizations of every kind of stripe and kind to sign up new students. So I think it's good to give your faith a jump on the race by trying to find that out. When I was at a campus minister at University of Virginia, I was always very impressed by people that would seek out the Catholic parish, the university parish, and they would themselves take the initiative. Oh, you know, I want to meet the chaplain. I want to see where the Mass is. I want to, you know, I was very impressed by that. And to me, that's like you were mentioning, Father Raymond, about the Thomistic Institute. Young people who actually will take the initiative to say, I know my faith isn't going to be handed to me on a silver platter. You know, I know I'm going to have to work for this. You know, what can I do to make this happen? To me, that is beautiful as a campus minister. I would tell my students, you know, if I'm doing my job correctly, you won't just have lots of golden memories about your time in campus ministry. You will actually go out, you know, wherever you graduate and make that faith take hold other places too. You'll go to your parish where you get your first job and settle down, and you don't see any other young people in the church. And instead of saying, well, I guess the church has nothing for me, go to the pastor and say, hey, Father, I don't see too many young people. What if I put something in the bulletin about having a, you know, a book study or just have a cookout, you know, or something like that? The pastor would love that, I would think. So to take that initiative, and I'd say that even for incoming students, if you don't see something that seems like it's, you know, it's enough, you can do something about it. And universities, even very secular ones, they love student-initiated events. They'll bend over backwards to, if there's a group of students that wants to do something that's not eminently destructive,
That's right.
They will support that. They'll often even
underwater basket weaving.
They'll often even give you money for it. I mean, not a lot, but they'll give you some money for that. So, and that's how I believe like the Thomistic Institute can function, because if it's a student group, if the impetus comes from the students, all of a sudden lots of doors open. You can use a university room or a classroom or a hall, whereas, you know, other groups, they can't get in the first door.
That's right. That's right. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Raymond Snyder, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio today by Father Stephen Alcott. We've been discussing signs of hope for young people on college campuses. In particular, perhaps two strategies for them to keep the faith strong and to grow in it in their college years. That's really the point to be remembered, is that precisely in those places we deem as hostile to the faith are where the Lord is often doing some tremendous, tremendous work, equipping and teaching young people in the ways of the faith. One of the things to think about, too, is that when someone arrives and begins their college experience as a freshman, it takes a little bit of a time to, you know, this is true of anyone, we're not just talking about Catholic students, it takes time to kind of settle in to a group of friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, that group of friends may not need to be very, very large. It might just be a kind of small squad of, you know, a handful of friends that make up the ones that you'll remember lifelong as mm-hmm. your friends in college. And but they form a critical, I think, even you know, someone from a secular perspective could agree with all of this, that core group of friends that you have in college shapes you, you know, or has mm-hmm. a tremendous influence on you. But I think that's one of the things that people, maybe these high school seniors going into college, need to be aware of, that, you know, it's a completely different environment. It's going to take time to kind of find your place. One of the most consoling pieces of kind of advice given to me when I was starting college was actually by a priest. So I went to Notre Dame, and there I met with one of the Holy Cross priests before I started there, sort of as I was considering going there. He says, "Oh, well, don't worry. You're going to find your niche, you know, your niche. It might take a little while, but you'll definitely find like-minded students, those interested in the same things, with whom you can really form strong friendships." And that was certainly the case. But it does take a little bit of time and patience and prayer, you know. That's also another thing to maybe parents listening with students in college, maybe any students themselves. You know, it's worth praying like anything else. If you want it, it's worth praying for. How about praying for healthy friendships, friendships that will lead you to holiness, friends that will support you in your practice of the faith? Because, you know, the church is a social reality. You know, human beings are social by nature, so we need others. We need others, even in the faith, to strengthen us. It's particularly, you know, it's the great lie of the evil one from the beginning, to isolate us, you know. Mm-hmm. That's when people can fall so quickly, when they've isolated themselves. So what are, Father Stephen, in your experience as being a campus minister, what are some of the ways that students build those friendships, build up that, you know, not just being devout and having liturgical events or having, you know, times of prayer and explicitly Catholic actions, but what are the ways that you think Catholics can build up those sort of friendships?
Well, that's a good question, because like you said, we're made for communion. You know, we really need kind of a culture, and when we don't find it at a place where we are, we have to help build it in one way or another. One way, I know when I was at the University of Virginia, students would actually, you know, when they were able to live off of the university grounds, off of campus, they would sometimes room together with other Catholic students if they could. I know locally, I know there's students that, like, St. Paul's Outreach has a way in which they can do that in a very intentional way, form an intentional community of of students that really are consciously trying to live their faith, even just where they live, where they eat, you know, where they study. Often they, you know, it's, you can, in our campus, we had Fellowship of Catholic University Students Focus, which formed small faith groups, Bible studies, really kind of like faith study groups, which are also groups that would just get together. The ideal is that you, you know, hopefully these are people you'll kind of keep up with through your whole university time. And then sometimes students, I mean, there's all kinds of ways which they can get, you know, get to know other students. One is through some serving other people by volunteering. It can be popular to go on a spring break mission trip or a service trip. That's a way in which sometimes, or even a retreat, you know, you spend a lot of time with people and you get to know someone that you do connect with and that does become your friend. And then even on that small level, then there are events sometimes that on a very large level, Focus has a conference called Seek every other year, and thousands of young people come together. I was able to go to that a few years. It's usually over New Year's around that time. And you realize, you know, especially if they're students on a secular campus where they think there's a small group of students, it's almost invisible. They come to an event like that, like, wow, you know, there's a lot of us, you know, we're from all over the world. This is truly a Catholic organization in the big sense of Catholic.
It's like one of my professors at the House of Studies, one of our priest instructors would say, it's a very Dominican saying, quantity has a quality all its own. So it's kind of a nerdy Aristotle joke. But to say quantity has a quality all its own. In other words, there's such a tremendous power. I think we underestimate this maybe when we're making our evangelization strategies. There's tremendous power that simply having a big event where young people especially see so many vibrant, on fire for their faith peers, that it has a capacity to move them, you know? Because, again, it's feeling like we're alone that, you know, makes us think something's not possible or something's, you know, not worth doing. Quantity has a quality all its own, especially when it comes to friendship. Now, I have often encountered people who've undergone a kind of conversion recently, and I know one of the tensions they feel, this is true even of those further along in life, for instance, in RCIA, there's a kind of tension when an individual undergoes conversion of some sort or a reversion very quickly, that all of a sudden they feel like they need to sort of turn away from some of the friendships they used to have that were leading them in a wrong direction. And all of a sudden they're in need of new friends, you might say. But there is a kind of tension there, I think, because sometimes in their very conversion, folks feel, especially young people might feel like, well, yes, I'm interested in all these new things, but I don't want to completely lose those other friendships, which had good qualities to them. I don't want to completely turn away from these friends just because I've become, had a conversion myself. What would you say, or what would be the kind of prudence you would counsel someone through to walk through those issues? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. That's a big issue with campus ministry. Like at University of Virginia, we had some students who, you know, they were already connected to one organization, like say the marching band, you know, for the school.
I can sympathize.
Father Raymond was in his marching band. You know, and then they got involved more and more in campus ministry. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean that they have to just not spend time with their marching. I mean, you have to spend time with their marching band friends, whether they're your friends or not.
A lot of time.
You know, a lot of time. So, you know, even if some of their friends in the marching band, they're united by their love of music, you know, but even if they might have very different views in terms of faith and religion, but that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, cut those off by any means. I think it's important to have at least, I would tell students, it's important to have at least some friends who support your faith. But it's not necessarily a good thing to only know people that support everything in your life, because, you know, maybe you'll be a little bit of a salt for the earth in another student's life. But the fact that they can at least say, oh, yeah, well, I know a Catholic, and they're not that bad.
They're not crazy.
You know, they don't fit the, you know, they don't fit the stereotype that I've heard about from, you know, from my non-Catholic friends or stereotypes advocated in certain, you know, liberal arts classrooms.
It's funny how people will, you know, especially young people in that 18 to 22 year old kind of range in college, you're ready to take on the world and, mm-hmm. and you're really learning your own limits. And, I think especially with someone who's had a recent conversion or reversion experience, they might say, okay, now I have to convert everyone in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on one hand, it's a nice, attitude to have that you want to share this great goodness and truth and beauty you've experienced through the faith with others and those you already know. Like you said, to have that, to be salt in those contexts, to be evangelizers in those contexts. But, you know, at the same time, I guess maybe the fundamental answer to the question I was asking earlier is it's a balance. And maybe mm-hmm. That's exactly what you were just saying. Maybe the advice then to someone is to kind of exhort them to try to find that balance, you know. And there is something to be said about one's own personal formation should take a first place in college, in the college years especially, that it is the time to invest tremendously in your own formation in the faith, and just as you're investing in your own formation in studies, mm-hmm. For a profession, for a career. It's not selfish to say to oneself in college, I really need to surround myself with good friends,
right.
and focus on that in a profound and deep way, so that I'll be able to be a resource and an authentic witness mm-hmm. in the other, you know, let's say more secular context. So, I think it takes a burden off young people to hear that. I mean, it certainly did when someone told me this in college. They said, well, calm down. You don't have to change everything. You don't have to change the whole world. You don't have to change the whole university. In fact, these are your years of personal formation, and evangelize through the friendships that God puts in your life. But primarily, it's the Lord who's working on forming you. You know, that's the big project, mm-hmm. which is tough to hear as a young person, right? Because, you know, you're ready to get out there and do something.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, my campus ministry was actually University Parish. There was an opportunity for students to get involved in actually helping other people in the parish. Like most of our CCD Sunday school teachers were actually students, so that they could give back. Another great thing about that was that they would realize that even some of the professors and administrators are Catholic, even at a secular university. Some of them are quite devout. Now, you might not know it, say if they teach engineering, you know, the Catholic doctrine might not come up too much in a physics class, you know, but when you see them in church, you know, and sometimes there are Catholic faculty organizations as well. You can connect with more than just other students to realize that there are Catholic faculty, administrators, staff, and other people you might be able to help at a local parish.
One of the things that I think people are often concerned, or, you know, rightfully so, it's a question to be asked is, well, this doesn't all happen in college. What do you think are the ways that, you know, parents and young people themselves can begin to kind of be formed in the faith and rooted in the faith before they even get to a position like in college where it's really under attack or being tested? Hmm. What do you think are the ways that, you know, good things that they can be involved in before they go to college that are a part of their formation?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I think to get involved in the kinds of things you would look for in college, your youth ministry, helping out in your parish, helping out volunteering. These are all ways, and, you know, there's similar things you can do at your college, at your university, that even as a high school student, you can do. And that can give you a little bit of courage, can give you a little bit of, you know, of even of skill of ways you can, you know, you can translate that over into your college career. And also by the same token, things you can do in college can translate into your post-college career. Like, I was always very happy that we would have students as CCD teachers, because that means that when they graduate, they can do that at whatever parish they land in, you know, where they find a job. or settle down, or where they get, if they get, you know, get married. And, you know, that's an immediate way they can help out, and they already have experience of that. But just even as the basic sense of leadership in the right way, not leadership in the sense of like, everyone's going to do what I want, you know, the way I want to do it, when I want to do it. But just that if I see a genuine need that I think I can help fulfill, I'll do what I can to start making it happen. I mean, that's such a powerful thing. It may seem very small, but that can really change people, and it can change a culture in the largest sense. You know, if it's just taking that first step of, you know, I see something that maybe could be done that would be helpful, and I'd like to do what I can to make it, help it get started.
And I think the Holy Spirit is often the one putting those ideas on people's hearts, and people, you know, often saying, how do I know that this is what God wants me to do? Or how do I know that this is from God and not just my own ambitions? And I think, you know, it's a question of bringing things before the Lord in prayer, and also recognizing that God, you know, if he really wants you to do something, he tends to repeat himself. The Holy Spirit can also speak through repeating himself. The scriptures teach us that, if anything, you know, the scriptures don't, there's no bold and underlined letters in the scriptures. But there are things that repeat again and again and again. And I think that's the way the Lord leads people to see what are the ways that he's inviting them to serve? What are the ways he's inviting them to be formed and invested in their faith, even before they get into a context when it's going to be tested and they'll face other sorts of temptations. The Lord is kind and merciful, and he equips those he calls to particular vocations with the graces they need. That's a principle we can rely on. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Raymond Snyder, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus, and I've been joined today in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott. We'll now end in prayer, a prayer to our Holy Father Dominic. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom, preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.